You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Burning questions.
Insightful answers.
Listener's Choice.
With Clement Maniatela.
Are you planning on getting married? Are you considering divorce? Have you recently been divorced? You may want to listen up to this conversation. There's a listener who's asked that we discuss on our Listener's Choice feature that High Court ruling declaring sections of the Divorce Act unconstitutional and invalid, which basically clears the way for spouses married out of community of property to apply to claim assets when they split. So basically, spouses that are married after the 1st of November 1984, out of community of property, without the accrual system, will finally be able to ask the court to exercise its discretion and issue a redistribution order that any asset or any sum of money be transferred from the spouse to another, regardless of the prenup contract that they signed. So I want us to understand the implications of this ruling. It's been sent to the Constitutional Court for confirmation, so the Concord is still going to consider it. And I wonder what the implications are for people that are currently negotiating their divorce terms, for people that are considering divorce. And is it, after being confirmed by the Constitutional Court, is it going to be applied retrospectively? Let's bring in Clorinda Skalko, who is a family law attorney and founder of Skalko Attorneys, who's going to help us understand this ruling much better and what the implications are. If you've got questions yourself about this, give us a call, send us a voice note or an SMS. Clorinda, thank you so much for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clemens, and thank you for having me on your show.
So I want us to start with some of the basics so that the listeners will understand what we're talking about. Let's start with the accrual system. Okay, let's start, in fact, with the being married out of community of property. When we say we're married out of community of property, what do we mean? And then you can explain what the accrual system means.
Okay, well, when we say married out of community of property, you can, it's either with the inclusion of the accrual system or with the exclusion of the accrual system. The difference between the two is with the exclusion of the accrual system, it means that whatever's yours stays yours, whatever's your partner's stays your partner's forevermore. And neither party's got a claim against the other for any assets that each of them have as own respectively. With the accrual, it's different in the sense that you can exclude certain assets prior to the marriage, and then you can anything after the date of the marriage that was not included as an excluded item then gets taken into account on divorce as to calculate the value of each party's estate, and that accrued estate of the parties gets divided. So there you do have a situation, for example, if both parties get married and they don't exclude items and they each have a commencement value, say, of no. Effectively, what it really works out to in the end is you just add up assets minus liabilities on both sides, on both parties' estates, and then the person with the lesser estate accrued has a claim for one half of the difference. I know it's difficult, but it's one half of the difference between their estate and the other party's estate. So the idea is then to balance out so that they both walk away with an equal amount at the end of that marriage.
Okay.
Then the excluded items are just excluded.
Okay. Yeah. So what is it that the judge found to be unfair about the section of the Divorce Act, especially for women? Because my understanding is that, you know, previously that option of the judge having the discretion to issue that order that any asset or any sum of the money be transferred from one spouse to another, regardless of the prenup contract that they signed, This was the only option for spouses that were married out of community of property without the accrual system before the 1st of November 1984. And that's when that Matrimonial Property Act came into effect. This judgment, does it affect marriages after 1984? So these are people who married out of community of property after 1984 and didn't sign the accrual system. So that's the first part of the question. The second part is, what is it that was unfair about the sections of the Divorce Act that the judges found unconstitutional?
I think it's important to understand that the only part of Section 7(3) of the Divorce Act that the judge believes is unconstitutional was the time bar. In other words, Section 7(3) of the Divorce Act made provision for someone who was married before 1984 and that had contributed to a household, whether directly or indirectly. So those parties would then have a claim for a redistribution, whether it's monetary or in asset value, from the other spouse. So the section itself is not unfair. The time bar, in other words, if you were married on the 2nd of November 1984, then you were barred from having a claim in terms of Section 7(3) of the Divorce Act. So that's actually the only part that is she found as unconstitutional.
So the redistribution of assets, right? If you want to make that order now, according to this judgment, for the judge to use their discretion, I'm interested to find out, what is the onus then on you as someone who is trying to claim from the other spouse to be able to say to the court, here is the evidence of how I have contributed since we got married after, that's if you got married after 1984, is the onus on you to provide the evidence? And what kind of evidence do you provide? Do you come and say, well, I was taking care of the kids. I paid for this car for the installment for 3 months, and you bring in that evidence so that it assists the judge in determining how much is due to you and can make that redistribution order? Or is that a discretion that a judge just uses on the basis of you just saying, this is how I contributed, without providing the evidence?
No. The court will have to decide on the facts of each matter. It would not be an automatic entitlement to redistribution. The person claiming a redistribution would still have to prove their direct or indirect contributions made towards the estate of the other spouse to be successful. And then the court would only have to decide whether the spouse was entitled to a claim, but would also have to decide the extent of the contribution. And that's why I'm saying each matter would have to be determined on its own merits. Now you asked what contributions would you have to prove in order to claim a redistribution. I think what's going to be important going forward is what was the intention when you entered into the marriage with the an ANC excluding the accrual. And then looking at how we used to, or how we still do, obviously, say to a court, this is what I contributed. So, for example, you'd have a wife who, during the subsistence of the marriage, worked throughout the marriage, gave her spouse, I'm saying her because generally women have been sort of earned less, have historically earned less than men. And they give their husbands the entire salary to assist in running the household, and that money from the wife was used to buy household necessities, helps maintaining the minor children, buys little things like, you know, improving the house, like furniture and stuff like that. And then we say to the court, and by me doing so, court, my husband, or it could be the other way around. I'm not being discriminatory. Yeah. I'm just saying it could be the other way. The other spouse saved his money on those expenses that he would not, that he would have had I not given my salary to him. I took care of all the household duties. I had assistance of a domestic worker only once a week, there's been lots of wives assist husbands in their businesses, doing secretarial work, take the children to school, fetch them from school, take them to off-school activities, and those are expenses which the court would then consider were expenses saved by the husband or the other spouse in being able to grow his estate, and then to the detriment ultimately of the wife at the end of the marriage, because now she's got nothing. She's put her entire, all her income, potentially used savings to buy items for the house. Now she's left with nothing. So that is going to remain the test, I believe.
Okay,
in that regard.
So the Divorce Act, as you've explained, did not allow for a court to make any order regarding the redistribution of assets for couples married out of community of property without accrual after 1984. And what the judge explained when she gave the ruling was that this left many people, mainly women, with no financial support, even though they had contributed to the households and even assisted their spouses to accumulate assets over the years. But does the court also ask them, why didn't you sign the accrual system? Why didn't you have a prenup, given that after 1984, with the introduction of the Matrimonial Property Act, that is something that was provided for, so that you avoid a situation where when there is divorce, there's this contestation of, but I contributed this way and I must therefore benefit this way?
Well, that's why I said at the beginning, there's going to have to be some sort of baseline test. Because, you know, people historically entered into antenuptial contracts with no accrual for various reasons. One that off the top of my head that I can think of now is, you know, I remember clients coming and saying, well, you know, the husband's going to start a business, and he wants to protect the wife from creditors, so it would be safer for the family. And yes, while the marriage is good, it's fine. But, you know, come the end, and let's say hubby meets a nice new young secretary, or, you know, somebody else, and decides that, you know, the wife is no longer sort of good enough for him, then she's stranded. And, you know, so there has to be a baseline and a consideration of by the court for why that person chose to enter into an antenuptial contract excluding the accrual. I can't think of all the reasons, but, you know, people will have to say, I chose this regime because of X, Y, and Z. However, this is what happened. You know, he's gone on. I carried on working. I did what all those things I suggested earlier on. And yet, you know, I'm now stuck because, you know, this is where he's put me in this position. Court, please help me. So, yes, there's going to be, and it's a new concept, and it's something that is going to, take time to establish baselines and tests. etc.
Yeah, I mean, it's still heading to the Constitutional Court for consideration, but
exactly.
It has huge implications, Clorinda, for those that are married and whose marriages are bound by a prenup and those in the process of divorce. How do you advise people now who are considering divorce or are in that process? Do you say to them, you know, let this be left in abeyance pending the order of the Constitutional Court to avoid a situation where a decision is made and then the courts would have to now get involved?
You know, I was thinking about that. That's a very good question. That's a difficult answer to give because I think, as you said, it also depends on how quickly will the Crown Court act on this.
Mm.
It really is an important issue for, you know, for them to consider quickly and, you know, make a ruling on. However, I probably would say to clients, in view of this judgment, it is a sound judgment, I would plead a redistribution. And, you know, if Concord doesn't uphold it, then that's it. You know, you can then go back to the drawing board or you can, you know, sort of amend your pleadings or whatever. But personally, I don't, that's just my personal opinion, I don't believe the Concord's going to say that this, you know, that people married after November 84 without the accrual can't claim a redistribution, especially in particular circumstances, you know?
Yeah, because every case has its own merits. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so exactly. Here's a question from Kamogelo Matlou on Twitter who says, please ask Clorinda, what happens if the partner is bankrupt? Does the other spouse also inherit the liabilities? I mean, can I go to the court and say, well, when we were in this partnership, I got bankrupt because I don't know, I started a business that failed because I was trying to feed this family, and therefore we must both share in the liabilities. I mean, could I go and make a case like that, or does it only apply when we are talking about assets?
Well, look, when we talk about bankrupt, there's you've got to take into account when making that a decision to ask for a redistribution of assets, it's not just going to be assets. It's always going to be taking into account assets and liabilities, and it would be the net value of the assets. So if there are no, liabilities exceed the assets, then no. Why are you going to go and ask for a redistribution? I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't advise a client to do that because then you are asking to distribute part of the liabilities to the other partner. No, I wouldn't do that.
But what if it's the other partner who says, well, yes, we made it out of community of property with no accrual, but right now I need someone who can help me settle, for instance, this debt, because when I got this debt, I got it and I took her or him to school. I got this debt to feed the family, and they come with evidence to say, this is what I used the money for in benefit of this marriage. Can that other party say, this person needs to share in then on the liabilities in helping settle this debt because I got it in the benefit of the family and the marriage?
That's a point to be considered, but effectively what you're asking for is not a redistribution of assets, but a redistribution of liabilities.
Yeah.
And no, I don't believe that is correct. No.
Okay, Black, you're calling us from Randburg. Good morning. Hi, Black. Ooh, Black, I think he's still having a chat there. So now we're going to wait, obviously, for the Constitutional Court to consider this and confirm it. And hopefully that's going to give clarity on how people are going forward. But for people who are getting married now, Clorinda, what's your advice? For people that are getting married and they're possibly considering getting married out of community of property, and they don't want to see themselves appearing before court and having to justify why they must get a stake if, God forbid, there's a split that happens and there's a divorce that happens. How do you advise people? Should they marry out of community of property and always make sure that they sign the accrual? Or do you say marry out of community of property and let's see how it goes? If it all fails, you can go to court and say, this is what I contributed.
No, that would be irresponsible as an attorney to give that advice. I would, in those circumstances, I would rather suggest get married with an antenuptial contract with the inclusion of the accrual. Let's exclude assets that you want to keep as your own, and then anything you work for together during the course of your marriage, you will then divide at the end equally.
Mm.
So that would be my advice. I would not say, no, get married with ANC, excluding the accrual, and let's see what happens. That would be very irresponsible to
you. Yeah. I mean, you're going to end up in court and you're trying to justify why you deserve this and that.
Absolutely. No, I would never. I think it would be irresponsible of attorneys to give that sort of advice.
Oh, Clorinda, thank you so much for making time. Quite a complex case. It took me about 2 hours last night to try and wrap my mind around it, trying to look at what the Matrimonial Property Act says, what the Divorce Act says, and this redistribution of assets, and then what the implications are for marriages that are bound by this prenup and their accrual system. So I hope you understand it much better now. Clorinda Skalko is a family law attorney and founder of Skalko Attorneys.